Hello, everybody. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. Today is Sunday, June 9th, 2019, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America, and we're so glad you could join us this morning. We will begin with our morning prayer. Florence.
From Divinity Course in General Collectania, the Blue Book, page 61. Oh, keep me ever seeing thee, and seeing as thou seest, my life, my joy, my all. Oh, that an influx of divine light and glory may enter each and every one of our hearts, and that you may be endued anew with power from on high. God, forgive me for having any doubt, fear, or lack of faith that all things are not possible with thee. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay, we'll start with a watching point, Linda.
Watch number 46. Watch lest you retain the old superstition regarding death as a doorway to a better state of being. This error causes people to say of one who has passed on, he is better off, and to feel regarding one who is very ill, that perhaps death would be a release under the circumstances. This suggestion gives death more power than life to relieve man of woe. Graduation from school benefits a pupil because he has done all the work in the lower grade satisfactorily. On page 60 of the Christian Science Journal, volume 4, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "When we have done our work here so well that it needs not to be done over again, the death change increases all our joys and our means of advancement," end quote.
Thank you. Any comments on that? So again, dear Carpenter, for his wisdom in all of these things, he doesn't let anything escape the metaphysical interpretation thereof. I mean, how often is that said, or is that thought? Oh, they'll be better now. It's better for them. Too many trials here on earth. I love what he says: more power of death than of life to remove. Relieve man of woe. Trust death more to relieve man than life. Capital L.
That must be why Mrs. Eddy established an entire lesson on the subject probation after death.
Yeah.
To allay the false belief that somehow death has power, well, it doesn't.
That it's going to cure everything.
Or that it will help anything, which it can't. It's a false belief to begin with. But we do graduate after we've earned the graduation.
Yeah, and these are things only in science is this explained. Only in science. In Christian Science, as Mrs. Eddy explained this so beautifully. I've never read it anywhere else. It rings true. It makes so much sense. And somewhere, I think it's Bicknell Young says that, you know, anybody who desires to die or any of that feeling that better off if you die, that's always handle animal magnetism. Because definitely it is a belief of power apart from God, that death can help you more than life itself. So, very good point to consider and think about. Thank you, Ray, for finding these every week for us.
I just remember Bicknell Young says, I think it's in the 1936 primary class, that we can't die our way out of it, we have to live our way out of it.
Yes. Such a great way to put it. And you see, if you've been taught and trained to think the other way, well, you do kind of, fold up and submit to all the beliefs. So train yourself the other way. We live our way. And again and again and again, we should get better. The more time we've spent here on Earth, the more experience we've had, the better we should get. Better we should become. Wiser, more beautiful, better in every way. But work on that. Don't submit to the beliefs of the world. When it's time to go, when you've done all that you were appointed here to do on this earth, we'll walk out, as did Eustace, Carpenter Sr., Zeddy, many others, certainly Christ Jesus.
I have to imagine it's just in the same way that, like, within the church, when it's right, people are promoted up. It's not really our choice.
Well, that's exactly right. It's not our choice. It's not our doing. You get promoted, it has to do with God. It's all about God and your relationship to Him. And it just happens. Not anything you can plan out for yourself.
And to think that is the last enemy we should overcome, which means it really has nothing to do with us at no time. When we go, we are living on.
Exactly. Thank you, Flora.
There is no death.
There is no death. No. You'll just wake up to find yourself not dead, and most things very much the same as before you made that so-called transition. So
I've come to think of it as a cop-out and excuse on my part, because not only applying to what we call death, but any problem. Death, to me, to die, to get out of a situation or ignore a situation, it's not working your way out. So you just sweep it under the rug and forget about it and deal with the consequences later, whereas any time that you're trying to work it out in science, it may seem difficult as you're going through it, but at least you're working on it and improving things versus just ignoring it.
Yes, thank you. And we were taught here to start early on, you know, I am ageless, diseaseless, and deathless because God made me so. Start early on handling all of these beliefs. It's much better than if you don't and then absorb the negativity of the mind about it. So, okay, golden text. Well, first our subject, God the only cause and creator. Golden text, John 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This is a beautiful lesson, and Amanda did it, and it clearly states, step by step, creation of God. That's all there is, and that is good. So I thought I would start before Jeremy slips away on me at the end of class. His forum comment.
This lesson definitely gave a lot to think about, and a lot for watches and everything. But this idea of things becoming visible that were previously invisible.
Read the quote.
Oh, okay. From page 264 of Science and Health. As mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which were before invisible, will become visible. And I was just thinking back in my time before the church, that my life just seemed to be getting so small, as if everything was disappearing around me, and even to the point where I didn't even have any hope or joy or anything like that left. So, but then coming here and learning about Christian Science, it's been this unfolding, and I just realized there's so much to God's creation. I look around now and I see the beauty of everything going on, and it's so wonderful to be able to see that. I'm so grateful for that. And it makes you wonder how I missed it, but glad to see it now.
Wonderful, thank you. Yeah, I used to wonder about what that meant, the multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, would become visible, but I think that is seeing the glory and beauty of God everywhere. I got this sweetest call yesterday from one of our members in California, and basically she was saying this was happening to her, that everywhere she went, she saw God's beauty, and she would feel such a connection with people and be inspired to say certain things to them, loving things. And it was such a wondrous way to live and to be. And she works at an airport, so it's become quite a blessing there to help people. Because what she's doing is she's seeing everywhere she goes, "Hail, Son of God." And then it is. I mean, I feel it too very often. It's just overwhelming sense. You feel like you just want to go up and hug people. You just, or at least speak to them and tell them, you know, how beautiful they look or whatever. And it's the spirit within you that does that. It's quite wondrous. Anyone else that wants to comment on that?
Well, it shows she's gaining a more correct view of God and man. I mean, you can't get a more correct view of God without getting a more correct view of his creation also.
Yes.
And your correct view of God is infinite, right? He created everything. When you get a more view of God, you can't help but see his creation more clearly and more fully.
It grows from the material to the spiritual.
It really is true. Mm-hmm. Whatever we hold in our thinking is what we see, really. It's amazing when you come to see that.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. This is how we bring heaven on earth, by doing it. First it comes, yes, to us, but then to others, is collectively, individually, and collectively.
And our objective here is to see more clearly what is real, as opposed to thinking that we see things that are unreal.
And as we've spoken about, I guess it was last week, this sense, it's not Pollyanna-ish, where you ignore evil or don't see it. It will become evident to you and more obnoxious. But then only for its healing and for its utter destruction, you will see it for its nothingness. You won't see it as some nasty person. You'll see it as some cloud over him that you can disperse with a loving word or the right thought. Because it does, it bursts that error. So, and this is what Christ Jesus did everywhere he went. He healed. We should do the same. Seeing God's wondrous creation. And this I wanted to bring out too, because it's kind of at the end of the lesson and I didn't want to skip it. Number 12 in Signs and Health. Will you read it, Carol?
Jesus never intimated that God made a devil, but he did say, "Ye are of your father, the devil." All these sayings were to show that mind in matter is the author of itself and is simply a falsity and illusion.
That is just wonderful. And I never saw it until this week. Jesus talks about the devil, but he never intimated that God made a devil. What he did say is, "Ye are the father of it." And so what does that mean? Error comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has. It's as clear as a bell, and sometimes people keep asking, "Well, where did it come from? Where, you know, I got to know."
Where does evil come from?
Where does evil
Why
come
is
from?
There evil?
Who made it?
Well, that's the answer. It is a lie and it's the father of its own lie.
Yeah, and in
it has no source in reality.
Citation 11, Mrs. Eddy says, truth. Yes, again, Jesus said of personified evil that it was a liar and the father of it. Truth creates neither a lie, a capacity to lie, nor a liar. If mankind would relinquish the belief that God makes sin, sickness, sin, and death, or makes man capable of suffering on account of this malevolent triad, the foundations of error would be sapped, and error's destruction ensured. This is our work. Back. Foundations of error. By knowing it is merely a belief. The mist went up. It's a belief. God never created it. We in our own heads conjure it up. Mortal mind. And even that, we're taught, is not the truth. Mortal mind isn't the truth. There's only the one mind. So remember this and never be intimidated or impressed by it. But tap its foundation. Wonderful.
I think sometimes it was so difficult for me to see, especially if I'm feeling something, you know, that it's not true, that it's an illusion. But what has helped me is when you see a mirage, it's still supposed water, but it's not there when you get there. So it's helpful. It helped me that way to see that even if I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it, it is still not true.
Thank you. It does seem so real and true. And I go back to the story of, in the Eustace book, the very end of his book, Christian Science, It's Clear, Correct Teaching, Psychologist and the Magician. And the psychologist had to walk through the cave, and he saw terrible, frightening things, but they were all illusions, and he had to keep walking. He saw a tiger leaping. He saw the tiger eating someone or something, and he could hear it. And it was just terrifying. But he knew it was the trick of the magician, and he kept walking. And when he walked, what did he discover?
Wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. It was there. An illusion. It was an illusion. It disappeared. That needs to be put on audio if it is.
It is on audio. Carol
did it. Oh, good. Good. Well, wonderful. A wonderful story, and it has helped me time and time and time again. I don't know whether I'd still be here if we had that story taught twice by Mrs. Evans here, because when things would seem the darkest and the worst, I would just keep walking, Mary, and whatever it was would leave.
That's why it's so essential for us to be aware of what's in our thoughts. Mrs. Eddy says, stand porter at the door of thought. And again, you know, we can't be responsible for the thoughts that come to us, but we are responsible for what we do about it, that we accept them, whether we recognize them as a false belief, or the work of the devil, or whatever you want to call it. If it's not leading you to God, closer to God, and to those who are doing God's work, if it's leading you somewhere else, you don't want it, and you don't have to have it, because it's not true about you, it's not true about anybody. You have every right to annihilate it, to destroy it.
And that's ways that are made.
Yep.
And really, thank God for Mrs. Eddy, because until we see something as unreal, that it's not there, it will keep coming. Even if you leave a job, you think, oh, this co-worker, no, and I can't deal with it and all. When you go to the next one, it'll be there. It's
yes.
Amazing. Until we see this is not true,
yes,
it follows.
deja vu all over again. I know, it happened in my own experience. I was always running into the same types of situations until I finally thought it wasn't true. So it's a great challenge. Remember, all these things only come, they come as teachers to raise us higher, to learn lessons. If you think you've got some real big personal problem, please don't. It's not a big personal problem. It's a lesson for you to learn about the allness of God and the nothingness of error. It doesn't matter how long it's gone on or how big it seems to be. You can still learn it. Although I will admit it's much better to catch it early on. Why not kill it when it's a little serpent rather than a big red dragon? Okay, Jeremy, you read what Joanne wrote on the forum.
Quote, "Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine," end quote. That was Isaiah 43. And Joanne says, "I love this Bible passage. Many years ago, our teacher, Mrs. Evans, told me to replace Jacob and Israel with my name. This has been a blessed help and comfort to me all these years, to know that God created me, formed me, redeemed me, and called me by my name."
Thank you. And, you know, it is, this is a lesson, we've mentioned it before, but always apply all of these things to yourself. We're taught here science and health is your biography. Instead of saying man, say your name, say me, however you want to apply it, but apply it to yourself. It's talking about you. It's not that person over there. It's you. Keep it yours. And I did want to mention, too, this isn't in the lesson, but it's in this chapter 41 of Isaiah. I've given it many times, but it's so important, verses 10 to 13, which Mary can read.
Isaiah 14, 41. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee."
When I was going through this very difficult time and having a lot of anxiety and worry and everything, and I worked so hard to get rid of it, but I wrote that down, I memorized it, I kept it. I would study it in the morning. I would study it at noontime. I would study it before I'd go to bed. I was imbibing this truth of fearing not. And all this that I was worried about, all that contended with me, God would deal with. And it worked wondrous works in me. And I would suggest it for anyone who is plagued with anxiety or worry. Think on these things. Take these verses and work with them. Miss Nancy was telling me this week how, you know, she works with these hymns, which I've done also, and how, especially if you can't focus your thought, if you seem so-called bombarded with negative thoughts, take something like this and just keep it. Pound yourself with that. Keep saying it to yourself, knowing it's the truth. It might not take effect immediately, but it will take effect. And if you don't do it, you have only yourself to blame. But especially in the beginning when negativity seems to be such a way of life as it was with me, I had to really work at it. And those verses from Isaiah 41 helped me immeasurably. as did others, but take these truths into your inward part. Renew your mind. They will do amazing things. It is the Word of God. It is the truth. It will restore, rejuvenate, rebuild, renew everything in your life. Okay, then. The next on the forum was Linda, as she's called. Go ahead, Miss Linda.
All right. I went with the Science and Health, the citation where it starts, when we endow matter with vague spiritual power, that is, when we do so in our theories, for of course we cannot really endow matter with what it does not and cannot possess, we disown the Almighty. And I stopped there because to disown the Almighty really struck me, and I looked that up. And disown was to deny, to refuse to acknowledge as belonging to self, oneself, and deny is to contradict and to declare to not be true. So that really hit me, especially since last week when we did the Bible study on Jude, and one of the things that they were doing was, that was creeping in unawares, was denying God and the Christ.
You see how subtle it can be. You know, we say you believe in God, you believe in the one God, of course you believe in the commandment, certainly you believe in the first commandment. But then, when you endow matter with this vague spiritual power, when you think that this part of yours can kill you, or you think that, I don't know, whatever else.
Or you think this pill can heal you.
Or somebody's brain is disordered and they can do something to hurt you.
Yes.
Or death will take care of all your woes.
Yes. You're giving matter this vague spiritual power. Every time you do that, you are denying God, which means you're contradicting him and you're declaring him not to be true. So put that feather in your cap. Or put that in your pipe and smoke on it. Anyway, think about, you don't want to do that. So catch your thinking. Don't deny God's power. Don't contradict what he's doing. Keep going back to that first commandment. There is no other power. And don't inadvertently, because usually it is, you don't mean to, at least at this point you shouldn't mean to, creeps in, as Jude said, it creeps in there. Don't deny his power. Every time you say you can't do something, you're denying his power.
I was realizing I was seeing somewhat that the fear was harmless sometimes, but it's not at all ever, even when it seems quiet or subtle.
Well, that's the thing. And that is what really woke me up, too. I thought, well, everybody thinks this way. It can't be so bad. I've always felt this way. But it is. And then I wondered why I suffered and was so miserable. It's bad. Go ahead.
Feeling God's power.
You're right. Thank you. From yesterday. Feeling. Giving power to something that does not happen.
And we only harm ourselves when we do it.
Yes. And then, dear Parthen, that was such a beautiful forum he wrote on, and it was from Deuteronomy 4:39. Know this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. And he put on our forum a beautiful hymn dating from the 5th century in Ireland, which I think is amazing because, well, not that amazing, but it's about the presence of the Christ. And we know that the Christ, what does it say in Science and Health? It exists
at all?
Yes, it's always existed. And here's an example. Now, I looked it up, and there's a little more history to it that I want to read. I want to read it all to you because I think it is so beautiful. Certainly, it certainly is about God's creation. It's called The Deer's Cry, a hymn by St. Patrick. This prayer was composed by St. Patrick in the year 433 A.D. He was aware that there was an ambush to try to kill him and his group en route to the king's court. It was during the march that they sang the deer's cry. As the Druids lay hiding, ready to kill, it is said that they saw not Patrick and his men, but a gentle doe followed by 20 fawns. The miracle saved Patrick and his men. The deer's cry is known by several names, Lorica and the breastplate of St. Patrick, which is another version of the prayer. It is a beautiful prayer, celebrating a God who lives with his children, guiding them, sheltering them, strengthening them, a God who is with us and in us and through all his creation. You think of that. He was walking, and they were ready to ambush him. And a deer appears with 20 fawns. And they're so, I mean, that would be an incredible thing to see. And they are looking at that, and they miss St. Patrick and his men. Don't see him. Anyway, and then the deer's cry. I arise today through the strength of heaven. Light of the sun, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of the wind, depth of the sea, stability of the earth, firmness of the rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me, afar and anear. Alone or in a multitude, Christ shield me today. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. I arise today through the mighty strength of the Lord of creation.
Beautiful.
How beautiful. And that will be in our next Liberator. Thank you, Parthen. And the name, theme of the Liberator is?
Angels and Protection.
And then what Florence wrote can also be. Florence, tell us what you added. It was also beautiful on the forum.
Because this every awareness of the Christ still somewhere buried in the hearts of even those who do not love me is so powerful when it finally feels real. It is the divine manifestation of God. What shall I fear? And then I found two quotes from articles that Mrs. Jean Roe Price had written. It touched me. One of the first ones says, everywhere the Christ, the indisputable evidence of God's presence and power, is to be found. In a den of lions, in a fiery furnace, in any seeming valley of pain or fear, there God's allness may be demonstrated. For there his Christ is, there his irresistible law of good is operating to deliver us from evil. And then the second one was, God is unfailing, unchanging, irresistible love. The vainglorious claim of evil to reality fades into nothingness before the radiance of divine love. Doubt not, the great physician, divine love, is beside every bed of pain, ready to wipe away all tears, dispel all fear. Nothing is too tenacious, too old, or too hard for love to dissolve. Nothing is impossible to God. Found those very, beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Interesting. Jean Roe Price was Mrs. Evans' teacher. She lived in Montclair, New Jersey. Many of us Jersey people were taught by her. Not me, not Gary, not a lot of us within this church, but others. Anyway, so those were lovely quotes, and that will make a beautiful article by Florence. So, and the main thing, or one of the main things we've learned in Christian Science is, because of the unreality of evil, the idea of protection is actually what?
Present. It's present.
We don't need it.
It's our obedience. And the good that we do.
And because evil is unreal, protection is actually not a... There's nothing to protect us from. I guess it's point. But you have to work to get there, and you have to work to know it, and this is how you do it. And it's in stages and steps, and it's by knowing the allness of God. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. That is what we have been speaking about, and that is what God's creation is. It's infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Everywhere he is. You couldn't get away from it even if you tried. And when you do that, you see the beauty of the world and the universe like you never have before. So I just thought that was so beautiful, and I thank Parthen. He comes up with such fresh things.
Yeah, that whole poem was wonderful. About even knowing that Christ is in there and, another's ears.
Yes.
Like what Gilbert Carpenter had said. That people see me.
Yes. Even way back then, he captured that. And because he did, that saved him. They didn't see him. He passed through without them seeing him. And miraculously, this doe came with 20 fawns. I mean, who wouldn't be enamored with that?
And I'd stop for just one.
Well, again, the beauty of our universe. And so we will post that as well. And just remember, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. That goes with our hymn, Everlasting Arms of Love, around, beneath, above. Is the arm we lean upon. Whatever.
Bruce isn't here to sing
you out. Yeah, Bruce, we miss Bruce. He's up singing now, of course, every Sunday. So, and then Suzanne wrote. Is Suzanne here?
Yes, I am. With George.
Anna, I'd like to comment about what you wrote on in the forum.
Yeah, I the quote in 1 John, what stood out for me, ye are of God, little children, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And that overcometh the world, I thought, wow, the world certainly seems to need to be overcoming right now. But that quote, it goes on, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So in a world that seems to be full of terror and all this craziness going on, it just reminded me of the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's just, you know, I've learned the habit here of whenever my thought seems to drift into this overwhelming sense of all the problems in the world, I get right back to focusing on God and all, and in His goodness, and all is God and all is good, and then the problems of the world fade into their native nothingness in my thought, and then keeps me back on track, and also a sense of God's fullness and protection from all of that seeming, you know, yuckiness out there sometimes. So it's just, it was comforting to read that whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and God keepeth us, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Just the sense of protection, I think, is what everyone in the world longs for, and it's right here in the Bible. And it's so present and so alive, you know, when you feel God's presence, you feel that protection, and it's nothing complicated. It's like the poem that Christ is on our right side and on our left and above and below. It's simple truth, and that's what I love about it. It's not complicated. It's right here, and it's something we can trust with the power of God.
Thank you. And that flows quite well into Florence's forum, where she starts, what a glorious example Christ Jesus gives us to also identify ourselves correctly. He never once mentions any material birth. And you see, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the key. You think you were born of material parents, and you dwell on that, your material history, you can't overcome this world. So, Lawrence, take it from there.
No, I mean, it just struck me how, you know, how clear he makes it, and his own example shows us too that we can be tempted too, but we have to still resolve to be what God made him. I mean, he wasn't attaching any of this to himself. And it says clearly here that when we've identified as such, proceeding from God, spiritual, as we've been taught here, that's when it says that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Whosoever is born of God keepeth himself, and that the wicked one toucheth him not. So which do we want to be? This mortal that can have all these woes subject to all the material laws? Or, as Mrs. Eddy clearly says, emphasis on sticking to the truth of being, page 418, 56. She says, stick to this truth of being in contradistinction to the error that life, substance, or intelligence can be in matter. So we have a choice. Be what our greatest example is, Christ Jesus, the way he lived, or are we going to do our own thing and suffer?
Thank you. That's just beautiful. And what does it mean to stick?
It means stick. Don't let go.
Yeah. You're just stuck to it. Don't let go. Yep. And I love what you said, where in humble obedience, we must also relinquish those former beliefs about our origin, and gratefully accept the reality of our being. It is the only way we are learning to reject mortal mind screaming of the vicious lies it continually tempts us with.
Yeah.
And you see, again, we were taught here, it's so easy to think, oh, you know, I had such a wonderful grandmother. I love to think about her. She was so kind. And that's good, as it, but you have to keep bringing it back to God. She was good because God was good. She expressed that love to you. That was God's expression through her. You bring it to God, back to God, then you're safe. But if you think you had this human grandmother that was just so wonderful, well, then you run into...
Because you make that more important to be God.
Yes.
And then we can... It means that you have to have the hypertension, which is hereditary, too. I mean, we either, you know, relinquish it all, or we take it, and we take it with the bad, too. So.
That's right. And yes, we were told that story about, yes, this grandmother, she, you know, and I she was so wonderful, and I'm like, you know, her, I whatever, express qualities of her, but...
I have fingers that can play the piano so well, like her.
Oh, yes, and then beautiful hands, but then those hands became arthritic. Oh, whoops. So, there you are. Uh-uh. It's all God. It's always you take it back to the Father and your inheritance, your ancestry is the beautiful, the good, and the pure. Stay with that. You don't want to dip into this human stuff.
And the reason you want to stay with it is because it's true.
That's right.
It's the only thing that is true. And when you think about it, you know, what is sin? It's a mistake. It's a mistaken belief, which leads to mistaken acts. It's all a mistake. And when you have the correct view of God and man, you're not going to make the same mistake. That's what it means. Whosoever is born of God, whosoever knows that God is his or her father and doesn't accept anything else other than that, sinneth not. Doesn't make mistakes.
That means you're not a personal creator. Your children are God's children. You've got to see this clearly. And starts out, you know, about this heredity belief. I have been surprised sometimes. Lifelong Christian Scientists, you know, will say they have a problem, and then they'll tell me that their mother or father or whoever had it too. Well, what? Hold it. Whoops. Your mother and father is God, and he never had it. Okay? Mrs. Eddy on 228 says the transmission of disease or of certain idiosyncrasies of mortal mind would be impossible if this great fact of being were learned, namely, that nothing inharmonious can enter being, for life is God. Heredity is a prolific subject for mortal belief to pin theories upon. But if we learn that nothing is real but the right, we shall have no dangerous inheritances, and fleshly ills will disappear. That is powerful. So please, 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 as a scientist, don't go back to think about problems that your family has had. They never had it. You erase it. They always were God's child. It wasn't the truth. If it wasn't good, it never happened in divine mind. You clear it up. You don't keep that clutter with you or think you're going to be like them in any way. You are like God. God is your mother, father. And that leads us to the grand finale. Gary will read, and we've read it before, but I love it so much. It's Una Willard, her short article on your background. And this is your background because God is your creator and the creator of us all.
Okay. Does the argument come to you that you didn't come from a good family or have the same opportunities as someone else? Stand on the fact that you came forth from God, that your background is God Himself. You came forth from the background of the infinite grandeur of mind, from the capabilities and capacities of principle itself. You came forth from the sound and stable foundation of truth. Sincerity, genuineness, and fidelity are the very nature of your being. And from hymn number 382, thou art truth's honest child of pure and sinless heart. You came forth from and are the substance of spirit. You are the loved of God. Your whole background is the background of love, and love only. And there never has been and never can be a power that can change the status of love's child. You emerged from the background of radiance and beauty. You were made of the inspiration and stimulation of soul. Life eternal is your life. You were not created delicate or weak or with a predisposition to take cold and have indigestion. You were created of life substance. And life can never be less than vigorous and warm and energetic and spontaneous. You are life expressing itself. Then there is never anything less than life in your being. Your sense, faculties, and functions are operated by life, principle, mind, soul, spirit, truth, love.
Thank you. God, the only cause and the only creator. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.